This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. From Gimlet, I'm Josh Muccio. You're listening to The Pitch, a show where real entrepreneurs pitch to real investors for real money. This week,
I wanted to do like Uber for waste management.
Ooh, smelly?
Yeah, it was very smelly. So we're going to be paying well above union rates.
Okay, when you're investing your own money, do the right thing. When you're investing my money, pay the minimum you can pay.
Today, we meet a founder who's on a mission to clean up the planet by changing how we dispose of organic waste. We're talking about our restaurant leftovers, moldy breads, and banana peels. But what happens when someone tries to reinvent an industry that's almost as old as trash itself? We'll find out in a moment. First, let's meet our panel of investors.
I'm Phil Nadel with Barbara Corcoran Venture Partners.
Phil's investment firm is one of the largest syndicates on AngelList.
If for some reason the members don't bite, then the thing falls apart.
Phil is a straight shooter looking for companies without a lot of question marks.
This is Jillian Manis. My fund is Structure Capital.
Jillian is something of a legend in the world of venture capital. In her early 20s, she survived domestic abuse that left her living in shelters in New York City. She was able to pick herself up, start several companies, and is now a multimillionaire.
You can have the most incredible product, but if you don't know how to talk about it, you're going to have a problem accelerating it.
Jillian tends to take center stage and really drive the conversation.
My name's Jake Chapman with Gelt Venture Capital.
Jake's investment firm has over $1 billion in assets under management.
They're going to shut you down on that name. It's definitely trademark infringement.
As a former attorney, Jake brings a lawyerly mindset into a pitch. If a founder can hold up under cross-examination, he might just invest.
Hey, I'm Howie Diamond.
That's Howie, who founded the VC firm Ranch Ventures.
There needs to be a moral and ethical kind of code that's aligned.
Howie is looking for altruistic companies. He'll only go in on a startup that's making the world a better place.
I'm Sheil, a partner at 500 Startups.
Joining us this week is Sheil Manat. He broke into the big leagues of venture capital when he sold his company, Fee Fighters, to Groupon.
This isn't going to work. You should do something else. Seriously.
You can always count on Sheil to say exactly what he's thinking. And he appreciates the same candor in an entrepreneur. Okay, here we go.
Howie, what is this hair about? Status symbol?
That's my identity.
Our investors are waiting on today's entrepreneur, Amanda Weeks. And they've been waiting for a while. 30 minutes, to be exact.
Where are these gals?
When you're asking people for money, it's probably best to be on time.
There are repercussions.
Yeah, you got to pay the price.
You got to pay the price.
Finally, the door swings open.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for waiting for me. I'm from New York, and I'm accustomed to everything happening in like a third of the time of getting around here. So thank you.
In a manner familiar to anyone who's ever been late to something they shouldn't have been, myself included, Amanda tries her best to pull herself together, and then she dives into her pitch.
So my name's Amanda. I am the co-founder of Industrial Organic. What do you think is the single largest component of landfills? Do you think it's plastic? Do you think it's paper? Because it's actually food.
Food. Mm. Yep.
Food is the single largest component of landfills. It's about 21%. Cities don't have the infrastructure, don't have the ability to handle an increase in organic waste diversion, organic waste.
So Amanda explains the problem with food waste is that after it finds its way to the landfill, it just sits there, slowly rotting away. And as it decomposes, it puts off a steady flow of methane. Methane's a greenhouse gas and a major contributor to global warming.
So Industrial Organic has adapted commercial food processing technology to handle food waste in an indoor industrial setting without methane emissions and much lower odor than other methods. We're raising a million seed round right now. I have about half of that in the bank.
Amanda says that she just started raising money for Industrial Organic a few months ago, and she's already secured about $600K of her target $1 million, including a large check from a pretty well-known investor.
Who was on Brooklyn Bridge Ventures, yeah. If you know him.
Charlie. How much did he put in?
He put in $350.
The mention of Charlie O'Donnell gets everyone's attention. Though few investors will admit it, they definitely take a closer look at a startup if a well-respected investor has already gone in. I can feel Amanda starting to crawl her way out of the hole she dug when she showed up late.
So,
what's your background?
So Amanda has a great background. I know. I've heard about Industrial Organic before. She is a very interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if that's that interesting, but...
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, we'll tell you if it's interesting.
We'll tell you if you're interesting or not.
So I grew up in Staten Island near the biggest landfill in the world that could be seen from space.
Ooh, smelly?
Yeah, it was very smelly. It was a huge part of my childhood, like going to ballet class or like going to friends' birthday parties and like, hold your nose, everybody, we're going past the landfill. But I thought it was totally normal and like everyone did that. And then
eventually, Amanda moved on from life near the landfill. She started her career in Marvel Comics in the business operations side. After that, she spent some time in advertising and pharmaceuticals.
And around the same time, people started becoming more interested in where their food was coming from and was thinking, you know, what's something that everyone's always going to need, food. Then was attracted to the waste aspect of that.
And that's when inspiration struck. She could apply her background in business to the smelly problem she first encountered in her backyard as a child, trash.
Initially, I wanted to start a collection service. I wanted to do like Uber for waste management. And then just started networking in the space and researching and talking to people and realized that the bottleneck is really in processing capacity.
Processing capacity. In other words, what happens to our trash after we throw it away? A lot of it goes right to the landfill. And it's been this way for nearly a century. But Amanda thought, great, an industry that hasn't changed in generations. I'll disrupt that.
So I just started experimenting and researching and reading about different methods that were out there and stumbled upon a obscure method of fermentation that's popular in with homesteaders, like in permaculture. You just put food waste in a bucket and like sprinkle some stuff on it and let it sit for 2 weeks and then you bury it in the ground. And I thought, what if you could scale that up and mechanize it and run it kind of like a brewery? So then I went around New York City and visited every brewery and winery and distillery. And
it must have been fun.
If you could turn this stuff into beer, then you've got a business.
Yeah. I've done that too.
Before investors turn Industrial Organic into a moonshine operation, Jake gets us back on track.
What is your process?
So the food waste comes in, it gets sorted. So any sort of plastic bottles or anything else that got in gets pulled out. It's shredded to about a particle size of about an inch and then sterilized with the UV light. And then it gets inoculated and put in a holding tank for 24 hours. In that time, the food waste starts to release a lot of water. And then we grind that down into a slurry.
Amanda is getting into the weeds on a pretty dull topic, trash processing. But the wonkier she gets, the more investors are leaning in. Because when there's money on the line, the devil's in the details.
The material is mechanically pressed using technology similar to what you'd see in like a cold juice operation, then pelletized, and then finally heat dried. In the end, we make a fertilizer in a pelletized form.
And this is when Amanda pulls out a clear Ziploc bag filled with tiny brown pellets.
Cool.
She brought us fertilizer.
That's 6 months old, by the way.
Wow. Right. Beautiful.
So it looks like cereal.
Give them fertilizer.
We sell the fertilizer.
You can sit on the shelf and be like, okay, don't eat the fertilizer, Jillian. But that's actually, I eat really, really, you know, that whole, it's a bad brand.
Deep brand.
It's like this. You could.
Yeah, it looks like that.
So this is the end product.
Yeah, that's the end product.
It's a clear sign that Amanda is hitting her stride when Phil, the one investor who rarely talks unless he's interested, chimes in.
What's the closest competitive technology?
Anaerobic digestion. It's basically large silos of food waste in an anaerobic environment where they are harvesting the methane and using it for energy. It's really expensive, hard to scale. The yields aren't great. You need 30 days to collect the methane. And then there's a sludge left over that also needs to be composted. So 2 months. Our process takes 5 days. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Who's the first customer?
Yeah.
So we will be working with restaurants and food processors in New York City. One of the customers that we have signed up is a company called Dig In. They're a pretty popular chain in New York. It's like farm-to-table fast food. We're going to start out collecting from their commissary and then collecting from their locations. We've also lined up Momofuku. They're another restaurant group in New York. Yep. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
What's in it for them?
So, first of all, they already pay for waste collection.
Yeah.
And so we give them a better service. We offer bin swaps, meaning we take their whole bin, and we bring them a clean bin every time we collect.
Sure.
Which is a huge pain point for them.
What's your revenue model?
So our revenue model is we earn money from waste processing fees. They leave the waste behind, and they pay by weight.
And what's the average load? How many tons?
So our first facility will do 1 ton per day when we launch in February.
Yes.
And then by September, we'll have scaled to 18 tons per day. Mm-hmm. It's about a million.
So Amanda's plan is to start small. Right now, she's raising money so Industrial Organic can process up to 1 ton of food waste a day, which is not a lot. But eventually, she wants to handle up to 18 tons a day.
Our price will be $75. The price in the New York area right now was $115.
So you have a better price.
We have a better price further down the chain.
When Amanda says further down the chain, she means eventually, as they scale the business, prices could come down. But for right now, Industrial Organic's price will be the same as everyone else's.
So the incentive here is a do-good incentive. Maybe I'm not getting the total value prop for a customer other than, do well.
Right. Well,
they're not saving money.
They're not saving money.
They're getting a better service. They're getting marketing and PR opportunities from knowing that their waste is going to a farm that they source from.
Right.
I just want to go back to the revenue model. I didn't finish that off because you have this fertilizer as the output. I mean, I want to find out.
You're making money from that.
Yes, we are. It's pretty small percent at this point of the total revenue.
So Amanda's plan has a lot of moving parts. They'll pick up food waste from restaurants, they'll process it at their facility, and then they'll sell the fertilizer.
I'm actually a little worried about the operations because you have to go around, especially when you're like not at scale by any means.
This is Sheil. He started a food delivery service called Thistle, and he knows all too well the challenges of running a logistics-heavy business.
You're going around. How much is it costing you just to pick up the stuff?
So we're not going to use garbage trucks.
Okay.
We're going to get cargo vans because we're doing bin swaps.
Yep.
So we're just going to take the whole bin.
Yep.
So that cuts down significantly on the cost of vehicles, the cost of gas, the cost of getting around.
So my biggest concern is like you have an operations nightmare collecting all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that you could partner with an existing provider and just process the stuff? And Momofuku could pay the existing provider something.
So that's our long-term model. We'll switch over to working with other haulers.
It's like a proof of concept, basically.
Yeah, it's like a beta.
Amanda's trying to say, we're not up and running yet. Industrial Organic is getting ready to launch, but they're not yet open for business, which could be fine. Investors take chances on companies at this stage all the time. She just needs to have a rock-solid plan.
So what's your burn? What do you think your burn's going to be?
Burn meaning how much the business will be spending.
In the next year, I think it's about $60,000 a month. I mean, we're going to be growing all through this year and hiring people and adding capacity. So it's hard to pinpoint down one number.
So 60 represents what? It represents drivers, a logistics person, it represents sales, it represents, what does it represent? Mm-hmm. Because 60 is very, very low. I mean, is this like slave labor? Are we shipping them in? I'm trying to figure this out. Is it aliens?
That 60,000 is a number from like the average of the next year of scaling up.
How many people are at the plant?
So over the next year, we'll be hiring about 10 to 15 people.
So it can't be 60. Yeah. I mean, unless you're like paying them in, you know, fertilizer pellets.
Yeah. No, we're not. So, a lot of that.
That's a great business. Yeah. We make fertilizer pellets. Yeah, you take fertilizer pellets home.
They look like bran cereal.
So the investors are laughing. But these figures, about 60K, 10 to 15 employees, these aren't the kind of hard and fast numbers they're hoping to hear. There is, however, one figure Amanda is sure about.
We're going to be paying people well above, we're going to be paying the lowest wage is $20 an hour.
Okay.
So we're going to be paying well above union rates, essentially.
Why?
For this.
Right.
How many?
Why?
Because we want to be responsible. We want to treat people well.
Okay, so how many people are we treating well?
It's 10 to 15.
Six. You've got 10 to 15 people at $20 right an hour.
Minimum.
Are these fit minimum?
You can't hear it, but the investors are actually jotting down notes and crunching the numbers.
And how many? And that's just the plant. So that's right. Mm-hmm. That's just a facility.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even talking about the office. We're not talking about
this stuff.
Right. We're not talking about the drivers.
The customer acquisition.
Yeah,
going
if there were just 10 people and they were all making $20 an hour, that in and of itself is close to $40,000 a month.
Yeah. So there are some roles that we won't be hiring until the next raise. So like my co-founder and I are going to handle sales. Basically, myself included, we're all going to get commercial driver's licenses.
I don't see how it's 60,000 a month average when you've
pushed the rent. A little bit concerned that your operations cost is not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing here? I think I'm missing something here.
I'm pulling out basically an average of what our monthly cost is going to be next year. It's going to go up. Mm-hmm. So obviously by the end of next year, our operating costs will probably be more in like the 150,000 range.
Amanda's been trying to sell investors on how lean her business is. But the thing is, these are venture capitalists. Big numbers don't scare them. In fact, they'd rather see her be aggressive.
So could you skip the middle stage and process a ton very inexpensively? Right? You said and do that for 6 months, parlay that into a contract with the haulers, and then go out and build a $10 million facility that can process
$400,000.
The operational complexity in your business, like Sheila's talking about, is all the logistics of getting trash into the business.
Right.
And that is something that you're planning on scrapping in 6 months or a year if things go well.
Right.
It's like if you could skip that step somehow.
Yeah, so why give away?
It's probably what we'll do if I don't raise the whole million.
Okay.
So I guess the question is, why not get it to the point, or why not? Oh, because it's proof of concept. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, because we're scaling. I mean, we're scaling it up over time.
Figure this out. Okay.
Yeah.
It's decision time. Has Amanda managed to talk investors into her plan for the future of waste processing? Sheila's up first.
For me, I like the overall idea. I think that there's promise. I've run a food business, so I would love to be a user. I just think the operational stuff, it's always more complex than you think. And I'm saying that because I've been through it personally. And people that are going to work for you for $20 an hour, driving or whatever, like there's going to be days where they don't show up. And there's all these nightmares that you'll have to deal with. So like, I'd really encourage you to offload that as much as possible.
Sheila passed. Next is Phil.
I'm concerned about the operational complexities. I'm concerned about the fact that you're underestimating the amount of capital that you'll need. So, for me, for those reasons, I'll pass.
Here's Howie. He's committed to investing in social good companies, and Industrial Organic is exactly the kind of business he would be into.
Yeah, I think like if I was a restaurant, I would use your service over the incumbents because, you know, the environmental impact, you're clearly passionate about what you're, you know, you've studied this, you have, you know, an emotional kind of connection to trying to solve this problem. I think it's a little too early for me, and for that reason, I'm going to pass.
Howie's out. Here's Jake.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea. I love the sort of social good angle. But I think, honestly, the stage of your company is really idea stage. It's not just pre-revenue, but it's really idea stage because you haven't built out any of the logistics part of the business yet. It's a whole realm you haven't even touched on, right? It's just chalk on a chalkboard right now. We'd want to see some progress on making these things work operationally. And for that reason, I'm going to pass.
Four of the five investors have passed on Industrial Organic.
So now you have Jillian left. One to go.
I think what you're doing is so important. I also believe that you're going to make this work. The first person I would like you to hire would be a logistics person. All right. I do think that you are not realistic about your burn at all, okay? But I think you're going to get there really fast. And you're going to say, okay, there is no doubt in my mind that you're going to do this. I really feel that. I am not going to invest right now, okay? But you have my contact information already, Amanda. I want to stay with you and I want to keep the conversation open because I do want to see you hit some of these milestones, all right?
Thank you.
And for future reference, I know this is a difficult city to get around, believe me, and I am late more times than I'd like. But when something's really important to me and I'm asking for money from people, I make sure I'm 10 minutes early. Mm-hmm. And if I have to make sure I'm half an hour early and sit and wait, I do because it creates a little like it's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I know you didn't mean to be. I'm positive. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we really, really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah,
I think it's a noble cause, and I encourage you to continue.
I'm excited, and I, for the sake of the world, I think it should exist. So
can we keep the fertilizer pellets?
Sure.
All right.
All yours, Phil. No. All yours, Phil.
Yeah.
It's Jillian's lunch.
What? Thanks a lot, Amanda.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Amanda didn't get the money she was seeking, and she walks out of the room. When we come back, the investors share what was going through their minds during her pitch. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. We talk to a lot of entrepreneurs on the show, and one thread that connects them all, they're not just pitching their business, they're pitching themselves. Because small business owners know that their business is more than just a company, it's their whole life. And State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, and they know what it takes. They can help you choose personalized policies that fit your budget. That's the personal touch. That's small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. Small business owners know that it's not just business, it's personal. Your business is your life, and State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, so they know what it takes. They can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. And they live and work in your community. So you're not just getting an insurance plan, you're getting that personal touch. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Welcome back. Amanda finished her pitch, and she's heading home. Back in the studio, investors are able to speak freely about what they've just heard.
So she really has to dig in. When she said at the very beginning, well, we said, well, what's, you know, she said, well, it costs the same for them.
Yeah, but it's...
You know, it's going to cost them. And you thought to yourself, well, okay, what's right. The incentive? Where are you?
That was a huge red flag.
That was a red flag.
How about this red flag? I'm going to pay my employees a lot more than union minimums.
Well, she's trying to do the right thing. Okay. She is right.
When you're investing your own money, do the right thing. When you're investing my money, pay the minimum you can pay. Well,
and also, when someone comes to pitch, they should know their burn solid.
Immediately. Yes.
That's for me. That's a big
when
one.
She had to look up and think, burn. Yeah. I was like,
the numbers need to be
this
back
is a problem.
Like,
that's
like,
it.
What's the breakdown on 60,000?
So a few months later, I called Amanda to catch up on how things were going with Industrial Organic and hear how she felt about her experience pitching to investors.
Well, the interesting thing was that we were very early. So we had just raised a pre-seed. Like that morning before I came, I was coordinating the wires. Like we
no
had,
way.
Yeah. Like the whole experience was kind of weird because I was being asked all these questions that I think are more suitable for a company at a later stage. And like they were asking me what our burn rate was. And truthfully, at that point, it was zero because we were just sort of in cockroach mode raising our first round after going through an accelerator. So
cockroach mode being like, like stealth mode, like just getting started, like kind of bootstrapping. What do you mean?
Yeah, like bootstrapping, like just. Yeah.
Amanda explained that after the pitch, she took the investor's advice to heart. She simplified her logistics by partnering with outside haulers and focusing on processing only. And she has exciting news. Soon, Industrial Organic will be opening its very first facility.
You know, I think that the next 6 to 12 months are going to be really fun and interesting and exciting. I feel like right now we're crawling and we're going to be walking and, you know, then we're going to be running. And I think that it'll be great for us to execute on something that we've been talking about and planning for a long time. But
so right now you're the crawling cockroach.
Yeah.
The cockroach is going to stand up and turn into a praying mantis. Praying mantises, they stand up on their legs. And then
sure.
Where do you go from there?
A butterfly.
A butterfly. A cockroach to a butterfly. Sounds like a painful metamorphosis. Speaking of painful, I had to ask Amanda about a serious point of contention from her pitch. So one of the things that came up in the pitch, and I don't know how you feel about it. I'm going to tell you something that Phil said after you left the room.
Okay.
Remember when you were talking about how you wanted to pay your employees well, and I think $20 an hour was mentioned, something like that. And then Phil, after the fact, he's like, okay, when you're investing your money, do the right thing. But when you're investing my money, pay the minimum you can pay.
I'm sorry. And in what world is $20 an hour really, really well? I mean, that's a competitive rate, you know, for someone working in that industry. And so I don't intend to run an ethical business at the expense of profits, but I don't intend to make a profit at the expense of ethics either.
Mm-hmm. And people. Yeah.
Right. You know, it was just anyone who's ever looked at my financial projections and our hiring plan has said that I'm paying anyone too much.
Oh.
Because we're not.
Take that, Phil. My guess is that saying well above union rates is what initially threw Phil off, because that made it sound like Amanda wasn't in touch with the realities of running a business. Which makes a broader point. Companies like Industrial Organic need to thread two needles. You need to have a clear social impact, but you also need to have a very clear business plan, something Amanda lacked at the time of her pitch. But she may have figured out by now. In fact, she just told me the next person she plans to hire is someone in operations. To hear scenes from next week's episode, stay tuned till after the credits. If you have feedback for the show, we'd love to hear it. Send us an email at thepitch@gimletmedia.com with your thoughts. And to all of you who've reviewed the show in Apple Podcasts, thank you. If you haven't yet, take a hot second and leave us a review. It makes a huge difference. And a public service announcement, we are on the hunt for early stage startups. for our next season to be recorded this August. So if you or someone you know is building something unique, go to thepitch.show/apply and fill out the form. Thanks so much for listening to the show this week. If you want to find out more, our website is thepitch.show. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at The Pitch Show. And we've got a brand spanking new newsletter where we put behind the scenes content from the entrepreneurs and investors on our show. You can subscribe to that at gimletmedia.com/newsletter. Our show was produced by me, Josh Muccio, Asta Chaturvedi, and Rob Zipko. We were edited by Devin Taylor, Annie Rose Strasser, and Alex Bloomberg. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder, with original music composed by The Musemaker, Bobby Lord, and Tyler Strickland. We were mixed by Enoch Kim, with help from Matthew Bull. Thanks to Lisa Muccio for planning the Season 2 recording event last fall. And a quick disclaimer, no offer to invest is being made to or solicited from the listening audience on today's show. And finally, I want to say a quick thank you to the original sponsor of Season 2, the It's Worth Doing Right family, for taking a leap of faith on us when we were just a little independent podcast. All right, you've been listening to The Pitch from Gimlet Media. I'm Josh Muccio. See you next week. Next week on The Pitch, we hear from an entrepreneur who's trying to change what we see and experience at 40,000 feet.
I'm in the business of making sure that passengers love the virtual reality experience.
Do you have patents on this?
We don't have patents. We have,
That's a problem. You know that, right?
New episodes of The Pitch come out on Wednesdays, 12 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss a thing. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.